Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me this morning. Rich Galen is here, too. Rich is a political operative. He's a cyber columnist and international heartthrob. And our good friend, Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. You know, it's hard to be an international heartthrob when you look like me, but that's part of the challenge.
Well, it's all part of the amazement that you are, Rich, that you can actually pull that off. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. But I've asked Rich to join us to talk to us about post-Saddam Iraq. Can we say that now, Rich?
Remember, way back when this thing started, and Vice President Cheney said this was going to take weeks and not months, and he was almost hooted off the Meet the Press set. I think we're down to hours and not days now.
Yeah. Saddam, and I asked you, when we talked yesterday, I said that I expected you to join us today and to tell us whether Saddam was alive or dead.
You know, I just don't have any idea, but I think I think the big story there is that nobody much cares. I mean, it'd be better to get him just to get him out of the way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, that's the thing that struck me about this is when the story first broke the other night that we had bombed that restaurant and thought that we'd gotten him, that people said, "Oh, good, maybe they're, you know." And the issue was would it stop this thing, you know, by this afternoon or by Friday afternoon. You know, we're really, really down to such short time periods, whether or not he's alive or dead. It doesn't matter. The Brits this morning are saying they think he's still alive. The Americans are still think they might have gotten him, but it just doesn't matter.
Well, the thing about it is where he's different from, say, Osama bin Laden, he's not a cult figure. He is hated by just about everybody, isn't he?
Right, and you know, to this extent, it is symmetrical warfare. What the phrase that we hear all the time about bin Laden is it's asymmetrical warfare, where we have a country, America, fighting a bunch of terrorists who are just, you know, dug in 50 or 60 different countries, and you got to go root them out one at a time. Saddam is a symmetrical enemy in that regard, which is to say that once we take his country away from him, it doesn't matter where he goes.
He's not going to surface somewhere else.
Exactly right.
With another country.
If he's in Syria, then the Syrians have to deal with them. We don't, you know, who cares?
Exactly. Well, okay. So now that Saddam is, the Ba'athist Party basically is over, the war is not over because
that part's right. Yeah.
The war is not over because there's still plenty of people out there who maybe they haven't gotten the word that Saddam is gone, or they're just evil guys who just want to go. You know, that they know, like Saddam knows, that once they have to lay their weapons down. You know, they may be in big trouble themselves, so they're going to keep fighting.
Right.
And so until we mop up those guys around the country, you know, the war's not going to be over.
And the way that happens, and you remember, this happens all the time with the American press. It happened when we went into Afghanistan. What happens when you know, thousands of body bags come home? That's the favorite phrase of the dissenters.
Landing at Dover.
Exactly right. Which didn't happen. And, you know, people are killed, and wars are not good. But in this case, the alternative to war was worse, so you have to go do it. But the other part about this was the house-to-house fighting in Baghdad that we were going to go through that was going to be so torturous that it was going to be just like where Vietnam, remember? But what's happening now, it appears, Jim, is that, and this is why societies actually work, is that there are more good people than bad people, and the good people keep an eye out and tell the officials where the bad guys are, and that's what's happening now, where these literally kids are coming up to Marines and pointing out where some of these Fedayeen and these guys are hiding out. The Marines go around the corner and, you know, put a round of, you know, a 155-millimeter round in it, and that's into that one. So that's the way this will end, is that these pockets of resistance will be either turned in by or overtaken by the good people of Iraq, and there's several tens of millions of them, and that's how this will get fixed.
Well, okay, now let's look at what's Iraq going to look like 6 months from now?
Well, I think, at 6 months, that may be exactly be the point where the thing has drifted off the front pages if all works out well. We will put in a, they've announced a guy named Gardner, I think his name is, a retired general, to be the, you know, the military governor, in
He's
essence.
The marshal, General Marshall. So
but as Kofi Annan said the other day, Iraq has a very highly developed bureaucracy, which is to say there are people who know how to run the electrical grid. There are people who know how to run the oil well. People know how to run the country. And those who are, you know, who are vetted and found to be non-Baathists and are, you know, plotting something nefarious will be allowed to stay on their jobs, like the denazification of Germany. I mean, there are a lot of people who knew how to run things in Germany, and it took a while, and then we gave Germany back to the Germans, and, you know, it all was well.
Right.
And that's 6 months from now, my guess is about the time when we will, you know, that whatever soldiers are left in there to make sure that, A, the Turks don't come down and beat up on the Kurds, B, the Kurds don't come down and beat up on Baghdad, C.
Isn't reprisal one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest challenges we have there?
Well, especially from the south and the Shiites, yeah. I think that was really my key part.
They make up 60% of the population.
The population. The Shiites, it's called a sect, and I'm not a scholar enough about any faith, much less the Muslim faith, to know whether using sect in that way is a pejorative or not. But yes, that is the problem. Frankly, that was the problem in 91, that the Shiite populations in all of these countries were being directed from the imams in Iran, and they just didn't want to have a power vacuum in Baghdad, where suddenly Iran would own literally everything from Afghanistan.
Well, the good news where Iraq could be a pretty unique situation in terms of introducing this kind of a new government into that region, where Iraqis are basically literate people.
Oh, very literate.
They're educated people.
You bet. Very literate. I mean, the fact is that, and we've talked about this on the air, from an economic standpoint, the proven reserves are in Iraq are second only to the reserves in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, 150 billion barrels.
and once the government gets their arms around running the oil reserves like a business, the amount of money available to fix Iraq is enormous, and it's not going to cost the American taxpayers, you know, very much at all.
Exactly. That's the difference between Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yes, so Afghanistan.
Rich, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, CNN has their retired generals. We have retired PFC Rich Galen, formerly of the National Guard of Ohio, of the great state of Ohio, and he's going to be with us for a little bit longer. When we come back, we're going to find out who, in fact, is going to be participating in the rebuilding of Iraq. Which countries? 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. And check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Also, I want to tell you about Rich Galen's newsletter, Mullings.com. It's actually a cyber column, and it's an outstanding one that I recommend to you. It comes 3 times a week. And in addition to that, which you can, by the way, you can subscribe at Rich's website. Go ahead and give it to us, Rich.
www.mullings.com.
Join the throng of thousands, folks, who read Rich's letter, including me. I recommend it to you very much. And also, Rich, folks, is the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust Information Minister of Information, and he's often seen around on the street corners giving out information. Is that guy amazing? You know, to me, that guy,
Bob.
Yeah, Baghdad Bob. You know, that guy is amazing. I mean, can you imagine what kind of a gun must be pointed at his head?
Well, you know.
He's ducking coalition bullets while he's saying, they will not win. We will kill them. They're not here.
Meanwhile, there's the turret of a tank of where. I had that job back in the early days when I worked for Newt. I mean, you know, saying the Democrats are done. We'd look up after an election. They had 310 seats. We had like 12 in the House. Well, I know what Baghdad
So you know
Bob
how you can empathize with Baghdad Bob.
Exactly.
Rich, let's talk about who's going to be involved in the rebuilding and the redirecting of Iraq. Is the UN, how much is, what is the UN going to be doing?
Well, you know, I mentioned Kofi Annan earlier, and he's getting smarter in his old age. He realizes that he is in great danger of being the last Secretary General of the UN if he doesn't shape up. And he made the point, that's what I was saying earlier, he made the point that each one of these crises has its own identity. In East Timor, where there was no government to speak of, the UN had to come in and just run the country. They just had to send in, you know, technocrats and just take over everything and run it. That's not going to be the case in Iraq, number one. Number two is Annan knows that he has no allies in Washington other than some minor, you know, deputy, junior, assistant undersecretaries in the State Department, but not even the Secretary of State because of the way we were treated in the UN, and largely by Annan and his pal Chirac. So I think the reality is that it will be run by the U.S. and the U.K., and the U.N. will send in what are called NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that can help with the distribution of food, that can help with some of the rebuilding of schools and things like that, which somebody's got to do, and this is what these organizations, they raise the money privately, and they go in and do these things, and that's fine. But the big question, of course, is how much is France going to get? And I think you can't stop it entirely. But if I were the French economics minister or the secretary of the treasury, whatever it's called over there, I would be redoing the books right now because there's about $38 billion of oil revenues they thought they were going to have.
Right.
That they just
not to mention
like AOL.com. You may as well just
not
write
to mention
now,
other
pal.
Contracts and,
yeah.
and debt that they loaned to Iraq. Well, here's my question, Rich, as far as the French and the Germans and the Russians, once it becomes clearly known to everybody in Iraq that those three countries had, to a large degree, especially Russia and France, had helped to prop up the Ba'athist regime, is it possible that the Iraqis could say, hey, we don't want those guys here?
Yeah, that's quite
I mean, on their own, say, you know what, we don't like the fact that France supported the guy who was oppressing us.
That's possible, but, you know, human beings, one of the reasons that the human beings have survived so well is because we have relatively short memories in terms of revenge. We don't remember that stuff for very long. So it would not surprise me that within, 5 years, that total ELF, FINA, the big oil firm, French oil firm, is back doing business there again. But, you know, that's the nature of democracies. And we talked about this about Turkey. I mean, if you're going to have a democracy, then sometimes democracies vote to do things that the U.S. wishes they wouldn't do.
Right.
But that's the nature of the beast. You got to take it in with the bad.
But you know what?
We
can live with that, though.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean,
right.
As long as it happens that way, we can live with that. But here's the thing to me. I can see France participating in rebuilding of Iraq as the French nation. What I don't see them participating is through the U.N., with their veto power.
That's absolutely right. I think that's exactly right. I think, but the big thing that the French want is they want those oil contracts that they've already got signed,
mm-hmm.
and
they're not. I mean,
they signed those oil contracts with a guy who will not be there anymore.
Right.
So, but the Iraqis owe. You know, we think that all of the Gulf nations, Saudi Arabia and UAE, we think that they're all these crazy wealthy nations, and frankly. Only Kuwait and Saudi Arabia are. My little country of Bahrain over there, where when I worked for EDS, I ran the Middle East, and that's where we had our headquarters, was on Bahrain. I mean, Bahrain is it's not a poor country, but it doesn't have very much. And Iraq owes Bahrain billions of dinars in unpaid bills, and Bahrain just wants to get paid. So there's a lot of non-German, non-French, non-Russian countries.
Right.
That have been helpful here that are owed money, and my guess is that it's like any chapter whatever 11 reorganization that there's going to be a bankruptcy judge that lets the debtors line up in order, and they'll get paid in the order the judge says, and we're the judge.
Rich, give us the website one more time.
Mullings, M-U-L-L-I-N-G-S .com.
Check it out, folks, and subscribe to Rich's newsletter. It's free. It comes 3 times a week, and I promise you'll like it, regardless of whether you are the Republican persuasion or other persuasion. Rich Galen, thank you very much.
You well, my friend.
See you next time. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. 29 after. Going to take a quick break. Be right back with our new friend, Jimmy Morgan.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.